Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Welcome to the second guest show. Mike to tell you along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're live at the Silver Slipper Casino beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Bobby J and I will be on until 7:30 tonight. There'll be no Visit Pensacola Coaches Show with kind of a, might say, a jumbled up week with them having
well,
the
thing is, we can't second guess the Saints.
You can't, you know, not for not them.
I think that we should be undefeated against the open date, right? We should.
As far as I know, I think some people put money on that.
You know, probably if we were still on that losing streak, they'd have probably picked us to lose. But we're on a hot streak right now. 1-2 in a row. Now it's going to be a challenge when the Rams come to town.
Yep.
And I think it's
good. But they got smoked last night, though.
Yeah, but the Eagles are good. The Eagles are right there with the Lions. And we could have beat the Eagles.
Exactly.
And you know what? I'm worried about our defense. The Eagles needed a damn touchdown. We just stop them. We're going to beat the Eagles. Now, that's a comeback to haunt you. You look how Atlanta has scored offensive touchdown. We lost that game. So then you lose to Carolina. All of a sudden, that could be not far-fetched. That could be three wins right there. But you look at the Eagles beating the Eagles play bully ball. Look how they manhandled the Rams.
They went up front. Manhandled them, offensive, defensive line.
Remember our offensive line, they were pushing us back and whipping us in the interior, and they were motivated. I think Vic Fangio, he knows now, he's familiar more with the team, with right buttons to push. I put the Eagles right there with the Lions right now.
It's close.
And look how the 49ers have fallen by the wayside. And when you look at that right now, but the Rams, I think the Rams are kind of an outboard. It's going to be all on our defense. I think we're going to have success against their defense, but what is our defense going to do? If you look at last year, we got torched defensively. All them crossing.
You never got close. Never got close to Matt Stafford.
And what did the Eagles do? The Eagles got all over Matt Stafford. That's what we got to do.
He was running for his life.
I would tell Coach Rizzi that that's the key. And whatever Brian Young and our defensive line, we got to get after the quarterback. And look, we're not as strong as we were. Maybe the perception at the beginning of the season, who's playing in the secondary. So we got to affect the quarterback. Because, I don't know, I don't want us to be in a shootout game. What I mean, it's like if the Rams score high 20s, low 30s, that's not good. I think if we can hold them and go back to where we were, an outstanding scoring defense in the past, not so much this year. But if we can hold them on low 20s, then I think we have a great chance to win.
Bobby, you got to be able to match up with receiver-wise, too, if it's Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua.
And I don't think we can.
That's the big challenge.
That means you got to get after Matthew Stafford. You got to get after the quarterback.
And remember last year, it was Kyren Williams running the ball that set up the pass.
Yep, exactly.
So you got to stop the run first, and then you hate to say it, but Stafford got to beat you throwing it, and hopefully you can get some heat on him.
Well, the two things, we cannot give up the explosive plays, even if they have to have a double-digit drive to go down the field. And then ultimately not giving up explosive plays. And then if you have a chance to win it, then you got to finish. You have to finish. Okay, we're in the fourth quarter. It's a one-score game. Can you get a stop or can you get an offensive touchdown or field goal? Whatever it takes to win. But you look right now, the Saints still have allowed way too many explosive plays. And the issue again, if you look back to the Browns game, we won 35-14. But the Browns still had five plays that went for at least 20 yards, including, remember, the 89-yard touchdown from Jameis Winston to Jerry Jeudy. If we do that again, I'm telling you that we're not going to beat the Rams. Now, the Saints have allowed seven plays of 50-plus yards this season. I'm going to say that again. Seven plays we've allowed a 50-plus yards this season. You know what? That's tied for a league high. That was going into this weekend. So, in other words, we dead last, giving up seven plays of 50-plus yards. So, and then you look last season. You look at scoring defense and all that. The Saints only allowed three such plays. So we only allowed three last year. We already had seven. I guess you'd say, maybe a little past the midway point, obviously. But so the explosive plays, that's what has to stop. And you look at, and we say, what's an explosive play that can go for, at least 16 yards? I always look at 20 yards on a pass play or runs for at least 12. Yeah, that's getting a first down every run. Now, this season, the Saints have allowed 85 explosive plays. That's the fifth worst in the league. So we can't be in the bottom of that category going forward if we're going to have a strong finish. So we did last right now 50-plus yard plays. And we're talking about the chunk plays, how I described them, and that being 85 with the fifth worst. And, you can't be hanging out with the Jaguars. And, you're talking about giving up explosive plays, and that's kind of where we're at. So that's going to be on the Coach Rizzi. How can we finish not giving up those chunk plays? You know, if a team goes on a 12, 13, 14-play drive and they don't make a mistake and they score, you got to give it to them. You got to almost count on, okay, we're going to bend, but don't break.
And try to force them to kick a field goal.
Yes, get a takeaway. What did we do against the Eagles game while we had a chance? I don't know how we lost. Weren't we plus two or something?
Yes.
I mean, when we were taking the football away. So that's going to take that kind of opportunity or situation, to me, against the Rams to come out with a victory.
We saw last night, and we always like to talk about great players, and you saw a great performance. Saquon Barkley, my goodness, he's had over 500 yards total offense the last two games. Bobby, he's on pace to rush for over 2,000 yards, and it didn't need it at the end. But he hit that hole, and no one touched him all the way to the end zone.
You ain't catching him. He's big and he's fast. you ain't catching him. No, I think right now, everyone says, oh, it's a quarterback award. I kind of look at it like, who's the MVP? Who's the MVP? Oh, I say, it's a Lamar. Then you look at, is it Derrick? Derrick Henry in the conversation, but Saquon Barkley's almost,
he's in the conversation.
He's almost passed up Derrick Henry right now. What have you done for me lately?
You think about backs that can also catch the football coming out of the backfield. He can. Now every once in a while he goes on a little streak that he'll drop an easy couple of passes. But Bob, last night he tilted the field for the Eagles. Now their offensive line is really good, but they had good lines before. They never had a back that's close to him, talent-wise.
And Mike, I said, who's hot right now? Because I always look at the NFC versus the AFC. What are the Lions and Eagles doing? They're running the damn football.
Look
at the Lions running backs.
School.
Now it's good Jared Goff, and he's very accurate passer and all that, and that makes Jalen Hurts better. He's like, thank God we got Saquon.
That's true.
I think Colin Cowherd might have said this. When you look at going from the Giants to the Eagles, Saquon Barkley, that's like it looks like the Yankees or Red Sox with Babe Ruth.
I mean,
think about how bad that trade was. That's going to go down as one of the worst trades ever.
And the Giants passing on signing Saquon,
yeah,
who wanted to be there.
And the guy they signed and paid the big bucks to, the quarterback, Jones.
They didn't cut him.
They cut him.
We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on the Second Guess Show. Mike Dottiglia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. In some LSU news, they've landed a commitment from the four-star linebacker from Georgia, Zach Weeks. He is the younger brother of Witt and Wes Weeks. So it's Weeks, Weeks, and Weeks. Almost sound like a law firm. So the younger brother, and Witt has made the comment.
So wait,
he's the most athletic of the bunch.
Okay, now everyone's homegrown somewhere. So they're from Georgia.
Georgia.
You think if they were all that or unbelievable, you think Georgia Bulldogs wouldn't compensate them and not let them get out of the state? Okay, now, wait what I'm getting at.
I know where you're going.
Okay, the Michigan quarterback, who's five-star number one, lives 30 miles from Ann Arbor, and all of a sudden, now, you don't want to get in a bidding war, but he's going to leave Michigan. He wants to come to LSU, but then all of a sudden, look where Michigan's at right now. They're trying to keep pace with Ohio State and for the future. So they said, damn it, we better sign this quarterback in our backyard, not let him go to Louisiana, right? So okay. you understand what I'm saying?
But when you have a guy like Larry Ellison who runs Oracle, and he's a multi-billionaire, and he's willing to help you. LSU doesn't have a guy like that.
Alabama don't.
Alabama doesn't either.
Okay, I'm telling you in the future, that's why Coach Saban, that's as sly as a fox. Let me get out while the going's good. Because in the future, now I'm looking in my crystal ball. You know, always looking at that crystal ball. And I'm talking about a handful of years. I'm not talking about 10, 15, 20 years from now. Watch the teams. I don't know what's going to happen. They're going to be employees or a collective bargain, and they're going to have some kind of salary cap. But if it's still somewhat like the Wild Wild West and how you could pay players, you know who's all going to be there for sure? Texas, Texas A&M, Oregon, Ohio State. The likes of LSU and Alabama.
And Michigan.
And Michigan, yeah. The likes of LSU and Alabama, they might not be able to keep up with the Joneses. I'm not saying they won't be competitive and win, but when you're talking about when you got these high school five-star guys, now they might work out, they might not. But what I'm just saying, when you're looking at, okay, what are we actually paying these kids to come to our school and potentially win? Mike, is that's not you.
No, that's exactly right. And I heard Nick Saban make the comment when it was brought up that Ohio State has given out over $20 million in the NIL, whatever it is today. His deal is, okay, that's all great and fine. You better make sure you're paying the right guy.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Because now you're paying 17, 18, 19-year-old young men. Bobby, it's not like you've seen them play. You've seen them play in high school.
Well, for instance, you could be an unbelievable high school player, and then I remember him in high school. Why you never hear him in college or even the NFL, okay? Then they could be an unbelievable player in college. Why I never really heard about him in the NFL? Who's better than Tim Tebow at Florida? What in the hell he did in the NFL? Come on. So when you look at, high school, college and the pros. So you really rolling the dice, Mike. You can be an unbelievable five-star boy, the greatest thing since sliced bread got invented, or ketchup, and unbelievable in high school. And then, I don't know, he was okay. He was good. But he wasn't, unbelievable in college. The only guy I told you to me, if he was playing name, image, and likeness right now, Cam Newton. Cam Newton, when he went from the JUCO, won a national championship, and the one hit won that Auburn, brings a national championship, and look how they fell by the wayside. So that to me now, Cam Newton, that son of a gun be worth name, image, and likeness. When you look what he meant for Auburn.
If Bryce is going to get 2.5, I'm willing to go 3.5 for Cam.
Yeah, amen. amen. So that's why that's going to be interesting. Listen, you could be in the dance and trying to get the right prospects and pay the players. That still doesn't mean you're dealing with young kids, they're going to work out.
Yeah, that's right. And with Zach, who made a hard pitch late in his recruitment? Ohio State.
Okay, now, so Ohio State to leave Georgia.
To go to Ohio State.
You know, that's some leverage there.
We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back to the Second Guess Show. Mike Dettillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're at the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. We'll be here until 7:30 tonight. And then Monday Night Football, man, and we'll be on 105.3, I think, starting at 5:30. It'll be Pelicans pregame on WWL. And then at 6 o'clock, tip-off with the Pels. On our Oakwood Hard Jewelers Talk and Text line from Clutch Points Sports, and he covers the Pelicans in the NBA, Chris Dotson. Chris, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Chris, I'm going to tell you what I normally tell Dr. David Elias when we have him on. He said, Mike, you never get me on to give good news. Well, Chris, I got you on today to give good medical news about the Pelicans.
Yeah, I mean, the best news is you're getting people back. You get CJ back. You got to get Murray back on, Wednesday against Toronto. And then January is what Zion said, so take him at his word. Maybe this whole team will be ready to go by Christmas, and they'll be fully healthy, hitting top gear, like he said, in January. So that's the good news. We're getting people back.
Yeah, now, Zion, I think the Houdat Nation, Pelicans Nation, we're about tired about Zion. We feel he's like a more talented Marcus Davenport. He's hell when he's well, but when is he well? I don't know how God made him, whatever, and all his body, and he's so powerful. I never seen a player blow out a shoe, plant so hard and blow out a shoe. But I think fans are frustrated. Because when you look at all the significant players that we had, you know, when you hit the lottery, oh, we got AD, Anthony Davis. And then you look at, I'm longing for the Chris Paul days with the Crescent City Connection and Tyson Chandler. And then I look right now with Zion. The fans want to be in that number. But come on, you got to give them hope. You got to give them hope when you start the season with 4-12. Now, I know it's dealing with injuries. But everybody's like, when they turn around and they play, then I might go watch them. No, they get mad. And, like, I can control it. I say, I'm a Pelicans fan. I never played in the NBA.
Well, we going to get blamed for that, man. Yeah, I don't know what's happening.
Fans ask me, like, if I have the answer, I go, no, I'm just like you.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing to get really happy about Zion is we're going to start with a blank slate. If they want to trade him, they got a lot of leverage right now. So if the fans get too frustrated and show that frustration, if maybe there's some setbacks, the front office has the fans behind them if they want to make a move.
I agree with you. Kind of tell us a little bit how you think this will really change the Pelicans and getting back DeJounte Murray, who had fractured his left hand on the opening night of the NBA season, and he's expected to return Wednesday against the Toronto Raptors. He is sort of the orchestra leader, okay? Everybody got to watch him. And the way he can distribute the ball, he is a good shooter, plays defense really well too. But he's the catalyst to find those spots and get you open on the court. I think that's going to make a big difference for the Pelicans.
It's going to make a huge difference. And Willie Green just talked about it in pregame, about the 43s that they want to get up. They haven't done it yet. But with Murray setting the table for Hawkins, Trey Murphy, C.J. McCollum, Brandon Ingram, you're going to get a lot more shots up from outside the arc. And the best thing is, from what I'm hearing, there won't be a minutes restriction on DeJounte Murray because it was a hand injury. He's been able to hit the treadmill, whereas like C.J. McCollum, you know, he's going to need a little bit of a ramp up on cardio because once you're in your mid-30s and start taking core injuries to the abductor, which I don't even know where mine went, 5 years ago. I'm in my 40s. But he's going to need some cardio ramp-up time. Murray, they're going to give him the keys to the offense and say, go figure it out. You've missed enough time. You've done enough cardio on the side. Just don't hurt that hand again.
Chris, you expect Brandon Ingram, I don't know about this game because he's listed as questionable, but maybe be back Wednesday?
Yeah, Wednesday I think he'll definitely be back because Murray will be back. And really it'll come down to, I think, more than his legs. It'll come down to CJ tonight going over, hey, B.I., I'm back, man. Just come back with me. Trey's going to go over. B.I., questionable? Come on. There ain't no question. We're finally getting the band back together. This is a very winnable road game. Let's go steal one, B.I., come on. And if they talk him into it, I wouldn't be surprised to see B.I. tonight. And if he's really hurting and he's been carrying this team the way he has, and there's one thing you can't question his heart, then they'll go, okay, get ready for Wednesday night, because on Thanksgiving Eve, we're going to give the fans a feast of what this team can look like with the whole team healthy, minus Zion, of course, and then Herb.
Yeah. Now, when you look at, the Pacers are the ultimate blue-collar team. It seems like you expect them to be in the postseason. Now, would they win anything? You know, they're trying to maybe overthrow or just hang with the Celtics and all that. But I think that's a challenge. When you think, okay, we beat the Bulls, and you might say, well, the Bulls are better than you think, Bobby. But I look at the Pacers, they kind of under the radar, and that if you truly follow basketball, I know that the Pelicans have to be hitting all cylinders to be that type of team, I think.
The one thing with the Pacers, when they get hot shooting, and, man, they love to throw up the three-point shot, and I think the world of their head coach, man, he does a fantastic job. This team ain't great on defense by any stretch of the imagination, but boy, when they get hot shooting, they are a very dangerous team.
Yeah, if they get hot and they're making shots, it's going to be hard to keep up because, again, the Pels just don't shoot three-pointers, and it's going to be tough with a team without chemistry to keep up with that. But the Pacers have kind of underwhelmed to me this season. I mean, Halliburton hadn't quite been the all-NBA talent. People thought he was going to make that jump. Siakam's had trouble. They've had some injuries. Toppin's out. I mean, they've been very hit and miss, and when they're missing, the Pelicans can go win a game. If they're hitting at home, it's going to be tough, of course. It always was, no matter who's healthy. Because they are expected to be one of those Eastern Conference contenders. But if they're missing, you can go steal one up in Hoosier State.
Eve Mise, and we saw him early on, and he was the biggest surprise, I'll be honest with you. And I remember maybe 2 weeks before the season started, Jen Hale came on with me, and she was talking about she had talked to the coaches, and they said, hey, don't be surprised. He makes a bigger jump and early than what a lot of people think he can make, that they were so impressed of his ability to pick things up. He's almost like a sponge out there learning the game, and you only got to kind of tell it to him once, and he gets it. I don't know if he plays tonight with the shoulder, but I think that guy, too, could be a hidden part of this team down the stretch.
Yeah. From all the indications, he's going to play tonight. That shoulder's good to go. He's going to be on the court. He's going to get some more time. And we made a lot about him only playing basketball for 3 years. But this is a guy that's, hey, sorry, fans. Sorry to break it to you. Basketball is really not that complicated. And this guy knows multiple languages. He come over to Baylor, wasn't even supposed to be. He's supposed to redshirt, and he wound up being in a starter. Every time they show this guy something, he picks it up immediately, like you said. That's every indication coming out of the team. And you watch him on the court, he doesn't make the same mistake twice, and that's all you can ask for a rookie. And then he puts up some highlights that Jackson Hayes would be jealous of, and this guy's got it way more between the ears than any of you. So it's going to be fun to watch how he comes out. He's had a little time on the side to not only rest so he avoids that rookie wall, but get the mental reps and hear how the coaches are explaining the game. So I do expect him to look like a Rookie of the Year candidate over the next couple of weeks if this shoulder remains healthy and doesn't get bruised up again.
Now, Chris, this is kind of a generic question, just from a fan base. You know, you want home court advantage and all that. But do you have an answer why, I mean, on the road, the Pelicans were unbelievable. The Pelicans won a franchise record last year, 28 road games last season. They were 28-14 on the road. However, you look in the Smoothie King Center, they only won 21 games. It was 21-19, barely above 500 at home. Do you have an answer to that? What's up with that? Because you want to be road warriors, but you also want to win at home. To me, that record should be flipped. You know, road versus at home in the Smoothie King Center.
That go to show you that home field advantage don't do you a lot of good.
The home court, yeah.
Yeah, if you're buying tickets, you definitely want it to be flipped so you get, you know, hey, it's part of the whole hope to see the home team win. But I think it goes to, and we've seen the Saints have to switch the parking situation. The routine for the Pelicans on game days here is far different than the routine that is far more consistent on the road. And, I mean, this team's come together. They're still fighting for Willie Green. They do a lot of things on the road together. And I think you see them fighting for each other more because they're just more locked in. They've been talking about the game. They've been doing things with each other. They get home, and I think the routine just isn't quite as consistent as far as what it needs to be. And if they tighten up that sort of stuff, you'll see some wins at home, especially against some of these lottery teams like Toronto on Wednesday.
Chris, I think you and I have talked about this, but when they can get the band back together, as you put it, C.J. McCollum's role, do you see him maybe as the sixth man coming off the bench, or do you think he'll be in that starting five?
Really, I think Willie Green was honest a few weeks ago when we talked to him, and it's going to depend on who's hot. If he's hot and Trey Murphy's hamstring's hurting a little bit, hey, maybe we switch the minutes around. I think it's going to give him a lot of leeway with the lineups. And they won't be a set, okay, you're the sixth man now. You go win the Sixth Man of the Year award, and you're no longer a starter. Because CJ, I think, is 163 games into his career. He's never come off the bench. It's going to be a little hit to his pride. So you can ease that pride, ease that hit a little bit by saying, look, you're still going to be a starter some nights. And if you're getting hot and some other guys are cold, we're going to make a change. But I really don't think it's nothing this team's going to have to worry about until Zion and Herb are both healthy. and there's really a push where you have five guys who might be better than C.J. McCollum. And that's just not a problem Willie Green has to worry about right now.
Now, Chris, how do you evaluate this? You know, offensive, defensive rebounds when you look at it. And I was always a fan of Valanciunas. You know, maybe not he didn't fit with the Pelicans, but I know he was like a double-double whenever he was available and playing. And when he was on the floor last season, he grabbed, 75.5% of all available defensive rebounds. And I thought that was interesting when I read this. That was an elite rate when you consider the Sacramento Kings and the NBA's one of the best defensive rebounding teams. They collected 74.5 potential defensive rebounds. So where do you think we're at right now when you're having those missed shots, offense or defensive rebounding category?
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned JV and then the Kings, because the Pelicans beat the Kings 5-0 last year with JV doing a lot of work down there on the boards. And it's going to be hurt. It's going to hurt my heart to see him play for the Lakers at the trade deadline. But I think with Missy back, you're going to chase those rebounds a lot more. It's something this team's going to have to do. If they're not, they're just not going to win ball games. Sorry, I lost a little train of thought there. Once you started talking about JV, I longed for my heart. Like, if you ordered a double whiskey and Coke from a bartender and ordered a double from JV, you're more consistently going to get the double-double from Valanciunas than you are your whiskey and Coke. So, yeah, once you started talking that, the nostalgia hit me.
Yeah, because, look, that's why, I don't know, I'm just a basketball fan. You know way more than me, and you're on top of things. I don't know. I said all I know is when he plays, he's productive. Now, I know you might try to change the way you want to play, but when I read that, that when he was on the floor last season, he grabbed 75.5% of all available defensive rebounds, and the Kings, like you were saying, was the NBA's best defensive rebounding team at 74.5. You're not always going to be hot every night, so you're going to miss shots. Yep. And so that's what I was saying. I don't think we have that individual right now.
No, you don't.
You have to do it maybe by committee, but the committee might not even be as good as what he produced.
I agree. Chris, one last question before I let you go. Man, the over and under for this game is 225.5. So we got some people here that say, hey, man, ask Chris, you like the over or the under in there?
Oh, I like the over. I like the over.
I agree with you. Chris, thanks so much for joining us. Always insightful, and I appreciate your time, buddy.
All right, Chris.
Hey, thanks, guys. Yeah, life's too short to bet the under.
Yeah. That was Chris Dotson from Clutch Points. Also tonight, just remind everybody, on WWL 8, the Big 870, 5:30 pregame, and then at 6 o'clock tip-off, it'll be the Indiana Pacers, Pelicans, and Bob and I go on 105.3. FM. We'll be back to finish it off in hour number one right after this break. We're finishing up here in hour number one of the second guest show. Mike Dottiglia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Hollywood and Thibodeau. Hollywood, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Hey, Bobby. Hey, Mike. How y'all doing?
All right, brother.
Hey, Hollywood, I think I met one of your homeboys. He said, tell Hollywood I said hi from Vashery. He was telling the Zebra concert.
Yeah, y'all had a good time together, huh?
Yeah, we had a good time. We were rocking and rolling, old school, you know that. But Hollywood, he said, man, you, like, growing, you're like a living legend now. You're going from Vashery to Thibodeau E.D. White, Fouchon.
Man, big time in Hollywood.
Yeah, you have to, I don't know if you're nationwide, but I know you golf south.
Hey, my name's Worldwide, not Nationwide. I'm not
Worldwide, I got you.
Hey, Bobby. I want to give a shout-out to E.D. White. We beat Livingston Friday night. The score was 51-14.
You should beat him. Come on.
Right. And then we got a tough game Friday night against Vanderbilt. That's going to be a good game Friday night.
Come on. You got to take care of Vanderbilt.
Well, you can't be like those Cowgirl fans. You can't just call when you win. If you don't come out on top, you know, you got to still be legit and call every week. But, yeah, no, that's like a Bayou region, you look at a rivalry, and I think that's kind of what we are in the 21st century. Vanderbilt, Catholic at home, and E.D. White from Thibodeau. No, that's the two
Catholic schools.
Yeah, that's packed house.
Two private Catholic schools.
Everybody want to go witness what's going to happen.
That's our room, Hollywood. That's standing room only for that one.
Right. Y'all not going to the game, huh?
No, well, it was Thanksgiving. I think I'm busy with T-Bob and all. So, but yeah,
no. Update on the game.
Was that?
I'm gonna give y'all an update on the game Friday.
Yeah,
all right.
Give us an update. Yeah. And so, are you excited about Coach Rizzi going forward in the future or what?
I would say if he has a strong finish, I say give him another chance because big guy coaches out there might not be as motivated as Coach Rizzi.
Well, I tell you what, after the top of the hour, we're going to elaborate on what it's going to take for Coach Rizzi to be a Saints coach. Because I think they got to get at least 8 wins.
I agree with you.
7 wins, not so much.
We'll be back with more second guests right after the news break here on the Big 870 WWL.